Welcome, our fellow lovers of love, and thank you for joining us on yet another excursion through the stream of consciousness down the river of tranquility to fill the lake of life with love.
And good evening, everybody. It's fellow Sacramentans and those out in the Lovosphere? We're calling it the Lovosphere?
The Lovosphere.
We should call it the Lovisphere. The Lovisphere. Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
The Lovisphere, or something like that. We'll settle on something.
In the sphere of love.
Yes, yes. And if you're joining us, it's next Saturday night, I guess. Thank you for joining us, those from the Michael Mercury. I forget the name of his program for a minute. And I don't know why. He talks about astrology and this kind of stuff. It's his, yeah.
Cool.
He comes in before us on when we are on Saturday nights at 10 and Tuesday nights at midnight. We actually, it's a vastly different crowd. It's the Metal Gods Radio. So we follow a bunch of metalheads on.
Nice.
On Monday night, you know, their show ends at midnight Monday and Tuesday morning ours goes. So we get some lead-ins. We get some metalhead lead-ins on Tuesday nights, and then astrology people on Saturday nights. So that's interesting. Interesting. So we welcome all of you. We welcome the Sacramento audience and everybody else around the world. We've got some interesting questions for you tonight, and we've got one that I started with. There's a small story behind it, but not much of one. Just some details. That's not something a lot of people go through, stages in life. So we'll talk about that. But we've got, you know, our standard relationships questions, which is some weird ones, actually. So, and some of these I'm hoping you have some background on.
Yes, I do.
Okay, count a few of these, because some of those didn't make any sense. So anyway, we've got some interesting relationship questions. So it's kind of a relationship night. We're going to start with those. I did look at the order of these things. And so, but it was actually a good order tonight, so I didn't change the order. I did do some editing and added a couple things. But anyway, so we got some relationship questions, some work questions. There's some good work-related relationship questions in there tonight as well. And I really hope to God we don't get to the, like, we'll call it the intimate section, because I don't know how to answer some of those. So, so that's what we're going with tonight. All right, Lubby. So before we start, we want to make sure that you can do the whole thing, like, subscribe, share. If you want to hear more of us, you can find us at latenightlove.us. You can send us your questions, comments, suggestions, you know, whatever, criticisms to us at love@latenightlove.us. As always. All right, Lubby. So we're going to start here. Why does it feel like everything I do is wrong? And now this is from early 30s. She's in her early 30s. She's a nurse. And she's kind of at the stage where she's just feeling like everything she's doing is wrong. Every decision seems to kind of be the wrong one.
Oh, those are some tough times.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's hard to know, right? Which job is the right one to take? Which, you know, which date do you accept? Which car do you buy? Which house do you, which apartment building do you rent? You know, all these kinds of decisions that we all have to make on a day-to-day, month-to-month basis. You know, you can get into a rut where oftentimes they'll feel wrong and you don't really know why you're making wrong decisions as someone who has made a colossal history of wrong decisions. Sometimes they work out that way, but in the long run,
they can it's presumptuous of you to think you peaked.
Yeah. You know, or what makes you think that the other way would have been any better?
Yes.
You know, maybe there's something that you're putting out into the universe that needs to change.
There's sometimes things I wanted so bad. And, you know, 5 years later, I stand there and I go, man, I'm so glad I didn't get that.
Yeah, sometimes it works like that. And sometimes you have to go through some stuff to get to where you actually want to go.
Yeah.
And so maybe this is just one of those things where You know, people talk about how life is testing you. You know, the religious people say that God is testing you. But, you know, it's, we all go through these things, whether it's life, you know, the consequences of your actions, whether it's, you know, some supernatural effort. It really doesn't matter. You're still just going to have to go through it being the best you can be. And eventually, you know, that will win out in the day. You just becoming the best you. The best you is the best thing that you can be. And sometimes it's a little painful to get there. And it never really stops. But, you know, so you can get to a point where, not that necessarily it was worth it, but you can understand the journey. And this is something that so many people go through. I mean, I think we've all gone through it at periods of time.
Yeah.
So it's very relatable. It's very human. And so as all of us, we go through our days and our weeks. And, you know, I think we should be very conscious that we're just human beings trying to get through the life. And what is it? Some days you're the fish, and other days you're the bear. You know, it just is what it is. And, you know, you just try to get through them until the next day. All right, so let's go. We're heading on into some relationship questions.
Okay. The first one's, I've never encountered this before. How do I, 26 male, get my girlfriend, 25 female, to admit that she's pregnant? Now, she just found out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been confirmed by the doctor.
Yeah.
And she's still kind of like, nah.
And she's kind of living in denial.
Yeah. She's overwhelmed.
Yeah. You want her to get to it. You make it as comfortable as possible. Leave it alone for a few days. Maybe even a week. You know, let it settle in. But yeah, at some point, she's going to have to start, you know, taking her vitamins, being more careful what she's eating and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to have to get into reality soon. Or, you know, there's other choices, but let's hope that she finds some reality. And
yes.
Yeah. Let's just hope. Okay, what's next?
Boyfriend, 26 male, said it's weird and excessive how much I, 25 female, talk to my mom. Okay, mom, now this young lady is the sole child of this person who had four children, and she's a widow. So, and her sister passed away too. So, mom is pretty much alone.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know, and they talk every day.
Well, you've got to understand, for one's perspective is, for him it is weird. He hasn't seen it. He hasn't experienced it. So it's okay for him to feel that it's weird and excessive, but, you know, this is where you have the discussion. But this is why we're doing it. It's the humanity of the thing. And this is where men grow and mature, right? He's right about that age where he starts to kind of experiencing things. Yeah, because men and boys, it's not how we communicate, right? We don't need to do it every day. So when we come across, you know, the relationships that does, it confuses us. We don't get it. But you just talked yesterday. What the heck could you have to talk about? How much could have possibly happened in your life that you can talk for 2 hours every day? I don't understand. So that's what we don't get, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. We don't have to get it. We don't have to get it.
No.
We just have to understand
that. You just have to accept it.
Accept
and
it.
Be supported as a widower.
But it's also okay for him to express that it confuses the heck out of him. Right?
Well, yeah.
I don't understand. Yeah, you're right. You don't. But someday you might.
Someday you might.
Even though men generally not. We talk to you every other day or something. But we're not everyday people. Rule of thumb. Okay, what's next?
My partner, 25 female, and me, 25 male, almost broke up because of the Super Bowl. Was I in the wrong? Okay, he was a lifelong 49ers fan. You know, he was looking forward to this, the Super Bowl, you know, and his team winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they didn't win.
Yeah.
And he was disappointed. And, you know, he was upset.
Yeah.
And she was making derogatory comments like, it's just a game. Why are you upset?
Well, because she doesn't understand.
Get over it.
Well, he will. Just give him a couple days. It's like, you know how women get upset? It's like soap operas for men. It's the things we can get really emotionally invested in, and it actually doesn't matter. Except on occasion, it really does for a few days. And just like when you get emotionally worked up about anything, it takes some time for those emotions to work themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we know it's just a game. We're well aware that it's just a game, you know. That's not the point. The point is you've got millions, in the case of the Super Bowl, people who have picked sides for whatever random reason, right? And you join all of that energy. That's a lot of emotional energy that needs to be dissipated.
Yeah.
And those ones who have, you know, sat through the teams for the toughest times and whatnot, those lifetime fans, they end up with the most of that emotion. And so they've got to, yes, it makes no sense. We know it makes no sense, which is why we can't give you an answer why it makes this. But it doesn't have to, right? It doesn't have to make sense. It's the let him have his thing. You know, and that's the kind of thing. You let him have his thing. You think it's silly. That's fine. Trust me, you do plenty of things that he thinks he's silly.
I know. That's why I can't believe that she was so dismissive of his feelings.
Because they're in their mid-20s.
Oh, yeah.
And they're still figuring these things out for each other. Right? It's their 25. So this is them figuring out how to manage their other people's quirks and how to deal with that. Right? It was just an unartful way of her expressing her confusion. Right? I don't get it. It's just a game. Why is it so emotionally important to you? And it's emotionally, it's not important, but it is emotional. So now, he almost broke up because of the Super Bowl. That's probably a little far because, right, you know, it is. It's just a day. It doesn't mean anything. Why are you going to make it mean something? Right? Anyway, that's one of those things that in a week it's all over with anyway, so just let it go. All right, what's next?
Okay, 18 male, I'm not gay, but I think I'm falling in love with my friend, 18 male. What do I do? Well, this is not uncommon. I mean, we even have a word for it, bromance.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, it's very common with, like, teenagers.
Yeah,
In
a sense, it's, what do they call it? There's all kinds of names that you give it, the bromance. But it's those handful of people who, in theory, you would die for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Life gives you a couple of them. And sometimes they involve romantics, and sometimes they don't. They're platonic. They're deep platonic friendships. They're your brothers. Let it go where it goes. There's nothing wrong with having a deep emotional connection to another human being, regardless of their gender, and just having that deep emotional connection. It doesn't always have to lead to a
romance or any sex.
Or even a pairing. I mean, you can, at 18, you need someone to split the bills and go, you know, you need a roommate. And would you rather live with somebody you like than some stranger? It's fine. Just let your relationship evolve to what it evolves to.
Yeah.
And, you know, it will become what it becomes. It's my suggestion. Okay, what's next?
Girlfriend, 24 female, said I, 27 male, was being disrespectful for agreeing to stay at a female friend's house. Okay, he has known her, this female friend, since college.
Uh-huh.
They had a group of friends.
Yeah.
And they've all stayed in touch.
Yeah.
And so he's going to be in her town for something else. And she offered, hey, stay at my house so we can spend time together. So, you know.
So she's a little jealous.
So she's jealous, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just get over your jealousy. That's my suggestion. You either trust him or you don't. It's got nothing to do with her. You either.
If they were going to do it, they would have done it in college, dude.
If they were going to do it, he would have said, I'm staying at the hotel, and she would have come over. He wouldn't have told you about it. Right?
Yeah.
So, but at this point, it's you either trust him or you don't. And if you don't, you either have reasons or you're just jealous, which is a... In your mid-20s, again, we're talking about, again, these are people in their mid-20s. It's also perfectly natural to have the to have these feelings of jealousy. The question becomes, what do you do with them? Because you can't put him in a bubble when he goes out. You know, when he has business trips or is going to, you know, Comic-Cons or whatever it is. He's going to run into people. And... as we find out that those, you know, just from the question before, just because it's a female doesn't necessarily make it any safer than a male. So you're just going to have to trust him or not. And, you know, maybe it's work on yourself, work on your jealousy. Okay.
Okay. My husband, 40 male, wants more kids, and I, 27 female, am unsure as to why. What reasons could there be? They have five.
He just likes having kids. Some of us are glutton for punishment. They like kids. There doesn't necessarily have to be a reason why. They just do. It doesn't mean you have any more, but I'm just saying that's the reason why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He likes it.
He likes kids. He likes a bunch of rugrats running around for whatever reason.
He likes the bebes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tell him to wait until you start having grandkids.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
My boyfriend, 26 male, and I, 29 female, gave each other our phone passwords. Guess who went through my phone and found nothing? Guess who tried to unlock his phone and found out that his password wasn't what he said it was?
Let's ask him what it is. Maybe you misunderstood. Maybe it's got a stupid code.
Have him unlock it.
No, just ask for the password again. What is it again? Just unlock it again. Of course, why you feel the need to be going through each other's phones in the first place is more the... You know,
well, when we first started out, we gave each other passwords and to our email, and we leave it open and all that kind of stuff. And we've always been open to, you know, if the other one feels the need, please do. And that has never happened, though.
Yeah, well,
I've never felt the need. I mean, I've walked by, I've seen on your Facebook little message, your message IMs, you know, and it's just been there. I was using your computer, but I mean, I've never gone digging through, does he have naughty photos, you know?
No, I'm obscenely boring is what I am. That's what happens. But on occasion, you know, you're sleeping, I have the need to find my phone. So I go over there, open your phone, and call my phone. That's exactly what I use your phone for. That's it. I use your phone to find my phone when you're asleep. That's what I use your phone for.
I never knew that.
Yeah, well, it's because you're sleeping, and I just need to call my phone. So that's why I look open your phone. That's it.
Yeah, we're pretty boring.
Yeah, we're pretty boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing to see here, folks.
But the question is.
But what does she do? Yeah. Ask him again.
Ask him again. And sometimes it's just people have a thing about their privacy and it's not really necessarily anything nefarious. Or it could be, you know, could find things you don't like. It's hard to know.
Yeah.
It really is. But, you know, my suggestion is to... Wait, phones, do they have passwords now? Most of them are pins, aren't they?
I thought they were.
Anyway, just ask him what it is again and see if you can, if you feel the need to look through it. But my guess is your need to look through it is a bigger signal than the pet not knowing the password. All right, what's the next?
Okay, my girlfriend, 26 female, told me I'm 26 male, too nice, and she tends to take advantage of that, so I left. She's sorry. Do I take her back?
Well, this is an interesting question.
People couldn't grow.
Well, I think the fact that she was willing to tell you this, you know, she was telling you something. It really depends on the context of what she was saying and how she was dealing with it. Because was it in a discussion about, you know, where the relationship is going, then maybe she's telling him he needs to grow a little bit of a spine and not to let her walk all over him. And, you know, maybe you grew too much of a spine. Maybe you've got... That's pretty hard for her to admit to somebody. You know, I know you're going to be easy for me to push over, so I, on occasion, I do it. I don't even really know why. It's hard to admit to somebody.
Yeah.
And so she was probably trying to figure out a way through it, trying to signal that he needs to grow more of a spine, or they need to be better at signaling to each other how to work through these things. Or it could be a signal that they're not really meant for each other anyway. And
but the question is, should he take her back?
That's not a question you can answer quickly.
Mm.
That's a question you're going to have to kind of work through and earn. You're both going to have to earn something. You're going to have to grow a spine and be able to not let her take advantage of you, whatever that actually, she actually meant by that. And she's going to have to learn to not be... Manipulative is not the word I want, but it's the word I'm going to use. Manipulative in the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we've got there. I don't know. Should you take her back? It really depends. You're just going to have to work through it. All right, so we've got some parenting questions now.
Okay. 4.5-year-old talks from morning to bedtime.
Yeah.
And... She's trying to get this through to this 4.5-year-old, but this isn't really socially acceptable in the real world.
It's not. People talk all the time. Lots of people get paid to talk all day, every day. You ever heard of a teacher? You get paid to talk all day. There's all kinds of things. So... You're not going to get a 4.5-year-old to not talk all the time.
No.
You're just not. They're essentially just running their brain. Their brain is coming out. What's going through their brain is coming out their mouth. That's just what's going to happen. You've got what you call there as a talker. And at some age, at some point, they can learn to control it a little bit better.
But not at 4.
Not at 4, not at 4.5. And no, it's not socially unacceptable for a... 4.5-year-old to talk all the time. It's perfectly reasonable. It happens all the time. No one really expects high social skills from a 4.5-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially that particular social skill. Yeah. All right. What's next?
Okay. Teen's friend's mom wants me to supervise them because my kid said crap 3 times. And in her thing, she put, holy crap. Yeah. She's taking this all with a grain of salt. Yeah. But, you know, Clee said crap.
Teen's friend's
and,
mom.
And the friend's mom, she, you know, he said it in front of me three times.
Well, I'm just glad we put,
and
I put this bra on the radio after 10.
Audacious.
Because we'd be in trouble if we put her on during the day and we just kept saying crap all the time.
Oh. What was just such a...
Well, I'm just saying.
Nothing word, though.
Yeah, I know. Teen's friend's mom wants to supervise them.
Yes. So when they're over at her house, she wants some their verbiage closely supervised.
Oh, yeah, that's going to work with teens anyway. So that's just going to make them worse. Just, yeah.
And now they're going to mess with you.
Yeah, sure, Hillary. Yeah, that's what I'll do. That's... Yeah, I'll supervise it, all right. You ever heard of pirates talking? That's what we're going to talk. That's how you're going to talk now. All right. So, all right. So what do we got next?
Telling six-year-old to have a set amount of time to finish a meal. Bad parenting? This child takes an hour.
Yeah.
But... if she tells him, okay, you've got 20 minutes,
mm-hmm.
he will finish in 20 minutes.
Well, is it bad parenting? No, it's the parenting your child needs. It wouldn't be my solution. Doesn't make it a right or a wrong solution. It just means it wouldn't be mine. If it works, it works. It's not unreasonable. Saying, look, you've got 20 minutes to eat, 10 minutes to eat, whatever it is. It doesn't take that long to eat. Six-year-old, depending upon the six-year-old. But if it works, it works.
Mm-hmm.
If it works, it works. Now, you know, that's one of those things where I'm not willing to judge if it works. If it works for you and your child and your, you know. Get her done. There's that one. That's the question about it. All right, what is this? What's next?
Okay, daughter, 20, hit curb, pop tire, lied about it. Is this a fair consequences? Okay, they quiz this, she's 20, no. And she's still living at home.
Uh-huh.
She said the tire popped all by itself.
Okay.
He went out, looked at the car. There's some scrapes and stuff. You can tell she went over a curb.
Uh-huh.
But she won't fess up. So they're making her pay for the repairs in the tire.
Yeah, well, she, even if the tire had just popped, you know, she had a pothole, and she was, it's still her car, right?
And yeah.
Yeah. She's 20. Stuff happens. You just got to deal with it. So yeah, making her pay for the damage she caused, regardless of the cause, even if it was a pothole, you know, it's still, life has consequences, I guess. Yeah, the consequence is reasonable, right? Yeah, well, you gotta pay for a tire, maybe a rim if you actually hit a curb, the rim may be bent, so that might have to be bought. You'll have to check the alignment of the car, because you could have knocked that out of whack. So there's all kinds of potential damage on there, and that's where you find out if it was a curb or a pothole or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, it's also possible that the tire blew. She's an inexperienced driver, and she smashed a curb. Happens all the time. Or she was goofing around and, you know, hit the gas instead of the brake or whatever, and yeah, that happens all the time.
That happens too. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so what's next?
Okay, showering at the gym, wife upset. Okay, they have an 8-year-old son, and he's shown a strong interest in going to the gym. So dad's been taking him to the gym.
Okay.
So dad needed a shower, and instead of leaving the 8-year-old unsupervised, he's like, come in the shower with me. So they took a shower in the communal shower.
Okay.
And then the wife got upset that the 8-year-old is taking a communal shower.
Well, that's not how gyms really work. It's not really a communal shower. I mean, you've got, they're like the showers at a, in a sense, at a campground, but just bigger. Right? You have privacy inside your little shower booth. They're curtains, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got privacy. You're not like, it's not like a like one of those old high school, things from the 50s. They don't have those anymore, you know, where you've got the shower heads along the walls and those things. No, those are from movies. You don't really have those things. So I don't know what she's worried about. She's being a bit unreasonable. And, you know, he'll be perfectly, he'll be accustomed to seeing the human form, and it won't be a big deal when he's older. It's actually doing him a favor without making it weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let it be would be my suggestion. Now, how are you going to get her to understand that it's to let it be is a whole different question, because you're dealing with an emotional reaction from a mother. And, you know, what do they say? Don't get between the mother bear and her cubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a hard one. Getting her to understand that it's just, you know, perfectly normal part of men, male growing up is, I guess, would be the...
Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't unnatural for us. We're all used to it. Yeah. No, it's fine. Well, how do you know it's fine? Because it's fine. I'm telling you. We all kind of do it. You know, it is what it is. You don't want to go sit in your car stinky and have to come all the way home. That's gross. So yeah. Just teach him. He's normalizing perfectly normal behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good luck with that one, Bo, though, by the way.
But, I mean, it's going to happen in high school gym class.
No, they don't do that anymore. That's why you think...
But you still see the male form.
Well, yeah, kind of. But men in high school gym class, they change real fast. Well, now, unless they're into sports, then that's a whole different thing. Just regular old gym class, it doesn't really happen anymore. But if you play sports, it's a vastly different thing.
Okay.
Yes, if you play any type of sports, then yeah. And getting that normalized at the earliest form time is better than not, and in a perfectly natural way. People have been showering with other people since the beginning of showering with people. You know, the beginning of showers.
Rome.
Yeah. What is it? In some places, they still do. So you go to communal showers. You go up
well,
to
we're
the waterfall.
I'm going with my middle daughter to a bathhouse tomorrow night.
Yeah, you guys got to find a different word for that.
Salt pools.
You guys got to start
and
using
saunas. Yeah,
it's a sauna or
it's a bathhouse.
No, that's not what bathhouse means. Bathhouse is the
they
word
call
for,
they call it a bathhouse.
Oh man, then I hope you guys know where you're
in
going.
In the title.
Oh, I hope you guys know where you're going. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to get a traumatized phone call. All right, so what's next? What do we got? All right.
Hey, I'm a worldly person. All right.
I'm just saying.
It'll be all right.
Okay, sure thing. Okay, what's next?
Husband gets all the praise and compliments for basic newborn work. Okay, she's doing the vast majority of it, all right? And he's doing the diapers, you know, and he's doing feedings and, these kind of things. Yeah. Just basic newborn, you're living with a newborn stuff, right?
Right.
But he gets all the praise. And she's...
Can I say something about this? I don't think women notice the praise they get.
Oh.
Women get all kinds of praise for being the mothers, and right, you can't walk down society without it hitting you on how brave and strong and powerful mothers are. They get all kinds of, I think we give them too much praise that they actually ignore it now. Because it's just so, it's just kind of like background noise. And so when they see men who may get too much, maybe he is getting too much praise for, or maybe not, or maybe people are just encouraging him to keep doing more.
Yeah. Possibly.
Yeah. Would you rather him do more or less? Is he going to do more if you give him, say thank yous? Or is he going to do more? So, you know, what's your real goal? What's the real point? So what if he gets some praise? You're getting yours. You're just not noticing. So maybe open your eyes and ears to the praise you're getting. You're feeling that you need it. My guess is your husband has given to you plenty. Sometimes we're kind of oblivious and we forget, but most of the time we're pretty good. And you guys ignore it. You just brush it off because you're hurried, you're running around, you've got 100 things on your mind. It doesn't click. Well, the problem is, it doesn't click. So that's the trick. That's the trick. So, you know, maybe you should listen a little better, and maybe he can be a little bit better expressing his appreciation for the work you do.
Yes.
That's another side of that equation as well. Okay. What's next?
Should I share my child's social security number?
No.
Mother-in-law wants it to open accounts for the children, savings accounts.
Go with her to the bank and fill out the form yourself.
There you go.
So, you know, that's what I would do. I mean, again, that's the only people who really need it. It's the bank and the government. So, you know, leave it between the bank and the government. Mother-in-law, it's a little iffy, but go to the bank and deal with it yourself.
There you go.
Okay, what's next?
How do you reduce your kids' screen time when what you like to do involves screens?
Well, okay, the question is, what are you replacing their screen time with? Are you going to take away their screen time and just give them a book, which is just really just a different screen? It's just a different form of a screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Or are you going to go send them outside to do some exercises? You're going to go have them go do some community work? You know, go do some volunteering? What are you replacing that screen time with? Or are you just saying, go fill it with something? Go do something. Go play outside. Well, you can't really play outside like we used to. So what are you replacing that screen time with? You're just replacing it with another form of entertainment, another form of... They'll see through that. So, if you want to replace it, you have to replace it with something.
Yeah.
And not just a different form of entertainment or a different form of education. Because if they're reading on the screen, it's no different than if they're reading in a book. You know, I remember, as someone who's kind of follow history, student of history, you go back in time and parents were going, those damn kids and their books, they should be out doing something productive. Right, and now we revere books like they're these unholy things. At least all fired holy things. Sorry, not unholy things, even though some books might be unholy. But that's a discussion for a different program. Uh-oh, now we just lost our camera for our...
Okay.
We lost our signal internet for a second. Our internet is having issues with the storm outside. But that's why we have an internal recording.
Okay.
I'll mate the two later. Okay, so yeah. I'll mate the two later. So anyway, where was I? Oh yeah, the screen time.
Yeah.
It's you know, books aren't these holy things. They're just a way of transferring information. And you know, whether it's a page in a book or a page on a web page, it's still reading. It's still reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, what's next?
Can employees take 6 days when they're not actually sick but just want some time off from work?
Yes, most time off is actually part paid time off now. It's not work, it's not sick days or holidays. It's just paid time off. They don't distinguish anymore, most companies. So yes, they can. Why wouldn't you want them to? You know, sometimes you need to recharge. Sometimes you've got doctor's appointments and you line them up on one day. Sometimes you got to go take care of grandma, you know, whatever it is. Sometimes you got to go get the car done. You know, there's 100 things that people need to do on work days, especially if you work 9 to 5 and something you need to do happens at between 9 to 5 type of thing, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, is the simple answer. Okay.
What are some specific lines I can say at work today to make it sound like I watched the Super Bowl?
Okay, this is like, by the time some people hear this, is going to be like a week and a half after the Super Bowl. So.
Oh.
But
the thing is, why would you want to do that?
Yeah, just don't. The question is just be who you are. Just saying, I'm not interested in that. You know, cool. Did you guys have a good time at your parties or whatever? You know, feel some interest in, you know, don't. You don't have to put down their interest in the thing to say that you didn't have any interest in it, right? And you can be interested if they had a good time. You can generally want if someone had a good time at their Super Bowl party and have no interest in being at a Super Bowl party, right? Those two things aren't mutually exclusive, right? They're not.
Yeah.
And so, football's not my thing. I went grocery shopping, or you know, while everybody was at home, we decided to go to the mall. Whatever it was, we saw movies. Went and, you know, talk about your movie. Just be who you are, and trust that who you are is, you know, likable. And if it's not, let's work on it. It's what's likely not likable is you trying to pretend that you're who something you're not. That's what's not likable. So yeah, just say. No, I wasn't into the Super Bowl. I went to the movie instead. We had a good time. Was your Super Bowl party cool? You guys have a good time? Sweet, you know? Just be a nice, fun human being. It's fine. Don't pretend. Okay, what we got next?
Can I be forced to work from home on a snow day, even though I work in a daycare? Okay, if it's a snow day, uh-huh. I can't go into the daycare. They have to do training videos at home online.
Well, you're getting paid for it?
Yes.
Then just quit complaining. Yeah. It's the easiest pay you're ever going to get. So just do the training videos. Yeah, you probably have some kind of requirement to have these training videos. And guess what? A snow day is a good time to go through some of these training videos.
Yeah.
And so, yes, work from home. Do a little work. My God, what is wrong with people these days? I have to watch training videos on a snow day. Yeah, you know, there's people out there having to go out and work on the snow day and keep your electricity on and keep your plumbing working and plowing the roads, and you're complaining about having to watch training videos. Just think about that. You're sitting here in the comfort of your home, you know, with the heat and lights and internet, while the guys who are keeping those things on are outside working. So, just saying, maybe you should just, you know, grab a nice cup of hot chocolate, sit down in front of your computer, and watch a few training videos. That's all I'm saying. Okay, what's next?
Does it look bad if I do not go to my work night out social event?
Yes, but what do you care? And it depends what looks bad. You know, it depends what your goals are in the long term in the company and whatnot. Are you trying to network? Because that's what those things really are. They're networking events. They're a chance for you to get to know people and build a network. So in the future, you guys can pull each other along and help each other out. Now, maybe you're not interested in doing any of that with any of these people, which is perfectly fine, so don't. But that's what those kind of things really are. they're networking, they're, you know, a little bit of team building, but really they're networking events. And so you really have to decide, are these people you want to network with? That's a business decision, maybe a personal one, but mostly business. And just make a decision. That's all it is. Does it look bad to the people there? Yeah, because they want to network and you don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't, then what do you care? Okay, next.
Is it bad not to do any extra work on minimum wage?
What do you mean by extra work? That you're paid to do tasks for, you know, for a fee, essentially.
Well, should they, you know, go the extra mile?
No one goes the extra mile. You should do, your work ethic really shouldn't matter, be based upon how well you're paid. Now, the amount of BS you're willing to put up with might vary depending on the size of your paycheck, but your work ethic shouldn't. And that's what we're talking about here. Is there a task that needs to be done? Are you able to do it? Then do it. Right? If you're the one who's only ever going to do the minimum amount of work, you're going to be the first one let go when times become tough. Maybe that's fine. Maybe you're okay with that. Maybe it's a job you're only at for a year, so it doesn't really matter. That's fine. You know? It's just, if you want a career there, if you want to build a reputation that will travel with you wherever you go, then you're not doing the extra mile for that particular paycheck. You're doing the extra mile for the paycheck you get in 10 years. And that's what people don't understand. They think they're doing something for now. You're building a reputation that will pay off in 5, 10, 15 years. That's what you're building. That's what you're working hard for. Not the current paycheck, a future one. And most likely not from those people. But reputation is a weird thing. It travels with you. So you don't allow your ethics, your work ethic, to be, your work ethic doesn't change. The amount of BS you're willing to put up with might change by your wage, but your work ethic doesn't change by your wage. And especially if it's a minimum wage job, you're at the bottom of the rung. You want to get to the next one. You're going to have to work for it. It's just how it goes. Okay, what's next?
I have an interview tomorrow. I was recently forced to resign from a toxic job that I had for only 2 months. Should I mention it? What should I say?
If it comes up at all, which would only come up if you put it on your resume or something, it's one of those things, if you don't have a good answer for it, but try not to stumble into the question. And the answer is something that just wasn't the right fit. You don't talk bad about the company, you just say it wasn't the right fit.
Yeah.
And you move on. I say it just wasn't culturally, but there was not a cultural match. And so, and don't allow them to try and get you to talk bad about the company. You start talking about what you look for. Yeah. You know, I'm looking for places that are encouraging and positive and hopeful. Don't say anything about them, talk about you. Because it's not about them, it's about you. And so don't talk bad about the company, talk about what you're looking for. Because remember, in a job interview, you're interviewing them as much as they are you.
Yeah.
And that creates an equal conversation. That mindset creates an equal conversation, and that is very attractive. It's very, very attractive. So, okay, good luck. And by the way, this one's over. I hope you got the job. But for other people.
Okay, struggling with favoritism at work. The boss has a pet.
Yes.
And?
You know why the boss has a pet? Because they get something done. You may not see what they get done, but they get something done. They may cover the boss's butt, but they serve a purpose. That pet serves a purpose. Bosses don't have pets for no reason. Maybe it's stress relief. Who knows? But it serves a purpose. It doesn't make it right. It just makes it is. And how do you deal with it? You don't. You just do your job and don't worry about it. Let him have his pet. What do you care? Does it interfere with your tasks? Or is it just annoying? If it's just annoying, don't be annoyed by it. It's a choice. Yeah. You know, maybe look for a better job sooner rather than later, but my guess is figure out what that person does for the boss, and there's something there. He'll take on the tough tasks. He'll do the things that no one else wants to do. You know, when he goes to him for goes to them for the risky. Yeah, there's something.
Yeah,
there's something. He got there for a reason, and it's. You find out that reason, and then everything makes more sense. But these kind of things happen because of trust. There's some trust for some reason, and so. But my suggestion is to ignore it. Just mm-hmm. do your job and don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Equal level colleague becoming boss. Okay, there's no resentment here. Uh-huh. But he's not sure how he's supposed to treat him now.
excuse me. No, I should have hit my cough button. Anyway, what do you mean? You treat him like your boss, but at the same time you have a relationship, so you should be well at working well together, right? You should already know how to work with him. And he's going to need help, because most people who get transferred into a boss position, they don't train people to do that. So he's going to struggle at that transition. So, you know, help him. I don't really understand. He's just the person now who you answer to. Nothing has really changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Become his, maybe you can become, back up a question, and you can become his favorite, because he knows he can trust him. Or he knows he can trust you. Good Lord, I can speak. So that's, you said there was no resentment. Well, but you came on the internet and brought it up. So my guess is there's a little more resentment there than you think. Otherwise, you wouldn't have brought it up. If there's no resentment, there's nothing to deal with. It's just a guy becoming the boss. You either like him or you don't. You know, he's either smart or he's not. You know, whatever. So maybe there is something to deal with on that. It would just be something to think about. Okay.
Help me convince my boss for me to work through lunch and leave early. Actually, depending on your state, that would be illegal.
Yeah, your boss.
I can't do that.
Your boss could get in real trouble for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know. You'd love to be able to do it. But you probably can't. So, and you can't not take your breaks either, by the way.
Yeah.
You still have to take them. Now, many people don't. Many people kind of, I don't take one 10 or 15 minute break. I take a few minute breaks every day here and there. So I take lots of little breaks throughout the day rather than a long one, which I probably shouldn't say on the air. maybe I should edit that one out. Okay.
Well, your workflow is like that.
Yeah, but I make the choice. It's not like no one tells me. If I wanted to take 15-minute breaks every, right on time, I could manage my schedule to do that. It's just not how I like to work. I like to be able to work for 30 minutes, get up, take a 5-minute break where I don't think about anything, go work for an hour, and get up. We'll take another 5-minute break where I don't have to think about anything. Work for 20 minutes and get up and go take a 10-minute break. These are the kind of things I like to prefer to take them as I need.
Yeah.
And I have the luxury of a job where I can do that kind of thing. So, unlike when you work at like an assembly line, is the assembly, you take the break when the assembly line stops, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody takes their 10, 15 minute break at the same time. Same thing in the warehouse. Everybody takes their break at the same time because having different people on different breaks messes with everything. And so it's just, it really kind of depends. But in terms of this, you can't skip your lunch. They're not allowed.
Sorry.
Yeah. We wish it wasn't so. Okay, what's next?
I got fired from every job, including my last job. The reason for them firing me was 100% not true. Why does this keep happening?
Okay, here's the trick. It's not the first time. So this apparently keeps happening. So when the same thing keeps happening over and over, the thing to question is the person in the mirror. Why does it keep happening? Are you misrepresenting your skills? Are you not culturally fitting? Are you, you know, you're not evolving? Are you causing conflict in the workplace? You know, what are you doing? And so they're not going to put some of these things down. They're not going to put, doesn't work well with others. They're just going to say you're not performing up to standard, and they're going to let you go. And you say, but I am performing up to standard. Well, no, you're not. The standard is to fit in. The standard is to all these other things. So that's my suggestion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you scroll down a bit? I have an employee that takes one day off a week. This employee is a key employee, so it's hard to discipline fire this employee. The employee gets 3 weeks personal time off, but has severely abused that. What should I do?
Maybe you should work with his schedule so he only has 4 days of scheduled work a week. Hopefully you're in a state where you allow like 4 10-hour days and you can get, you know, if he's that key of an employee and he can get his work done in that kind of time, maybe it's you adjust his schedule. I mean, if he's always taking one day off a week, maybe he has a anxiety issue, or maybe he's got, you know, something at home he's got to do on Fridays or Mondays or whatever, medical issue with a spouse or a child, and you don't feel like telling you about it for whatever reason. So maybe the thing to do is to have a discussion with him about his schedule. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would think about. Okay.
Do managers actually care when a good, hardworking employee in a hard-to-fill position says they're quitting?
Well, yes, but your version of a good, hardworking employee might be different than theirs. But two, you know, it's also a business decision. You leaving is making it your own business decision, so they won't make theirs. They're just going to go find you and replace you. Everybody is replaceable. You know, organizations can be restructured around these kind of things. It's not the end of the world. You know, whether you like it or not, it just is. You know, we all have to do it. It's we all have gone through these types of things where, you know, we all think we're a key person in the organization. We leave, and guess what? The organization continues and marches on.
Yes, it does.
Because you're not as key as you think. There's lots of people out there who can do your job. You know, they do it differently than you. Maybe you can do it better. Maybe not. Or maybe it's just different. But, you know, any job you can do, there's likely somebody else who can do it. Most of us aren't that special.
No.
Including me. I can be replaced on any of the things I do. You know, they'd be different without me, maybe for the better, you know, who knows? Okay, so now we've got sex questions, which is good because we are actually past our time, so this is perfect. I don't have to put these in the radio show.
All right.
So, all right, woohoo. All right, so what's next?
Okay, she orgasms quickly and is one and done. Now, usually it's the woman making this comment.
Yes.
But now this is a man. She orgasms quickly and says, okay, that's it. Okay, I'm done. Bye.
Well, then, and do this reverse, then you work the other way?
He gets to come first.
Well, not necessarily. Yeah, I guess it's going to have to. I don't know. Because normally, making someone who's easy to make orgasm is usually a blessing with women.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then, you know, you're talking multiples and all these kind of things. It opens up a whole Pandora's box of gifts, usually. But apparently, well, just like you said, everybody's a different mix of humanity.
My question is, why is orgasm the goal?
Well, that's because it's the goal. It's the innate physical goal. It's the pre-programmed goal in our little monkey brain.
Isn't it supposed to be mutual enjoyment?
No, we have added that on top of this little ancient brain of ours is we must reproduce, we must reproduce, we must reproduce, just like every other creature on the planet. And the best conditions for reproducing are when both people have an orgasm at relatively the same time. So that's the goal. Now, do those conditions still exist? No. So we've layered these other tops of emotion and stuff on it, right? And it becomes even more pleasurable. Yay for us. But it's always still underneath us that kicking thing where that's the goal, that's the goal, that's the goal. And the younger you are, where you've got, where hormones are raging, it's just god awful. And so, yeah, it makes complete sense that that gets the goal. And then habits are formed and all kinds of stuff. So it makes complete sense that lots of people kind of think that's the goal. Because fundamentally, physically, genetically, it is. So, I don't know, maybe get her more interested in a multiple orgasm. Don't stop when she comes. Keep going. I don't know.
I can always
or
give
slow
it
down.
A try.
Hey, be worse at whatever you're doing. How's that? I'm not sure. I can't believe I just said that. But yeah, maybe the key here is to not be as good at lovemaking, or at least slower. Yeah. Miss the combination a few times, right? I don't know. Okay, so what's next?
Okay, husband refuses to go down on me. Okay, he's her one and only.
Uh-huh.
And she's never experienced receiving oral uh-huh. sex before. And she'd like to try it. She's heard a lot about it, you know.
Yeah.
But her husband says it's unhygienic and gross. So what is she supposed to do?
That's a good, well, it really depends on what's the real reason. Because all of sex is unhygienic and gross if you think about it. If you really, really think about it, it just is. So, I don't know. This is one of those things where it's depending upon their age and whatnot. How old were they? Did they say?
No.
It didn't say? Because it could be highly ingrained. I don't have a good answer. Like I said, I told you some of these things I don't have an answer for.
Okay.
I said at the beginning, sometimes I don't have an answer for some of these. And that's one of those, I don't have a good answer, because you don't want to go playing games in a relationship. So maybe it's a sex therapist. There's my answer.
There we go.
Yeah, good luck getting him to go to a sex therapist. But maybe just a therapist. Doesn't have to go to a sex therapist. But yeah, I don't know. Hey, try some porn. They like it. So if the porn people like doing it, you know, maybe you can find out that he actually likes you in a certain position that surprises both of you.
There you go.
Okay, what's next?
Partner insecure about size. You know, I really hate porn sometimes because they give unrealistic standards to men.
Yeah. There's a show I watch. It's just called, back in the day, called Sports Night. And one of these geeky guys, he ended up spending some time with a porn star. Never actually spent any romantic time with the porn star, mind you, because, you know, of course not. But he says, well, I'm not built anatomically like any of your friends. And your friends, like your fellow porn stars. He says, well, thank God for that. You know, her son, well, thank God for that. Because, right? Yeah, exactly as you say. They're looking for things that look good on camera, not necessarily that are normal.
Yeah.
Right? That's what the real difference between porn, which I took that question off later on that you had, is because I could answer it here, is the difference is that things on porn are done to look good on camera. They're not necessarily done for pleasure. They're done to look good on camera. The goal is vastly different in a porn shoot than in having relations with another human being. And so by that very nature, things are going to look different. And you're going to use different tools. And you're going to need people with bigger anatomy so you can actually see more. And that's just how these things work. So the lights can get in, and the guy with the cameraman can fit. And, you know, all these things actually matter. And so, yeah. Now, when you talk about insecure about their size, there's nothing you can do other than to not mention it and just kind of, because if you make a big deal out of it, it becomes a big deal. And so you just try to just, it's fine for me. Right? Don't lie to him, because he knows. Right? If he's smaller than normal, he's going to know. And now, if he's actually a relatively normal person, and then, you know, which most of us are, there's nothing you can do. He's going to be insecure about it until he's insecure. Most of us are.
Huh. There's not much we can do then, huh?
No.
Oh.
The best thing you can do is nothing. Just enjoy the one you have, and that's fine.
So to show that we like it.
Yeah, because if a man thinks his member is too small, and you professedly saying that he's, now you're lying to him, and so he's not going to be able to trust you. So don't mention it at all. It's the suggestion.
Just carry on.
Just soldier on, because it's not that you love anyway. It's the time you're spending with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just don't even say that. Just keep on trucking is my
suggestion. Okay.
All right.
Why is sex such a taboo topic?
Because it's the most personal thing you can really do with another human being, and it's nobody else's business. Right? And we all have, well, not all of us, many of us have, you know, things you don't necessarily want humanity to know about. You barely want your partner to know about until you find out they like the same thing, and then it becomes a thing, right? It's just, you don't want the people you work with to know the kind of relations you have at home, right? You don't want them thinking that way when you're trying to get a job done. So it's for quiet. It's for behind closed doors, historically speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just, why do you want the world to know? Yeah. Some do, and it's fine, I guess, for them. But for the most people, it's a private thing. And so it's not necessarily that it's taboo. It's just there's no need to talk about it in polite. You know, you're at Starbucks, there's no really need to talk about your sex life at Starbucks.
No one cares.
No one cares. Well, even if the people care, the people who are behind you don't, and don't want to hear it.
Don't want to hear about it, dude. Sorry.
Yeah, they just don't. And even your friends don't really want to hear about it, you know? Just saying. Okay, that's not cocktail party topics. Just saying. Okay.
Feedback and communication is important, but when and how? Okay, there are different types. In the moment, you know, direction sometimes has to be done. Harder, faster, slower, no, yes. I like that. stop it. You know, you got to give some feedback in the moment. But there's also times when you're lying there and you're just cuddling and you can just kind of, you know, I really liked that thing that you did, such and such, you know.
Yeah. There you go. You answered your own questions. There you go. All right, what's next?
Okay. How can I be more open and transparent with my sexual partners about my turn-ons?
How about becoming more transparent with your partners while with your turn-ons before they become partners? You know, maybe you should talk about those things before you become sexually involved with somebody. Just saying. If you're waiting until after you've become sexually active with somebody to discuss the things that turn you on, you may have done these things in the wrong order.
Ooh.
That's just what I'm just saying. Now, there's levels to some of these things, but generically speaking, you should pretty much know if someone's in your, you know, your chapter before you open their book. I'm just pointing this out. It's probably not a good idea to find out what chapter they like after the fact.
Yeah.
Just pointing this one out. So how can you be more open and transparent about them? By being more open and transparent about them. There's no secret to this sauce here. It's the old Nike saying, just do it. Is it difficult? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes, just as we discussed, because discussing sex is awkward and taboo, and we've got this weird thing in our brains that it makes it all very difficult. But guess what? You get better as you practice. Just like anything else, you get better as you practice. And so, yeah, you just practice. Practice, I guess, apparently this person has to practice with the people they're already relating with.
Yeah.
But, you know, and maybe you should know. I don't know, depends how active. In the olden days, you could always just kind of find out by which kind of porn they liked, and then you could kind of work your way from there. But I'm not entirely sure that entirely works. This is related to this next question, I guess.
Advice on how to ease my shy boyfriend into a kink.
Okay, is it one he's interested in?
It's golden shower. She has no idea.
She has no idea if he's interested?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it actually didn't matter what it is. It's just you've got it, well, my guess is this, even you know, women can get men to, especially shy and socially awkward, gets to do pretty much anything. My guess is it probably won't be that hard. You know, a little liquid courage and he'll be good to go would be my guess.
Yeah, you guys are kind of easy like that. We suggest anything and y'all are sure, let's give it a try.
Yeah, it's because we're not bright. We're not bright, but
you're easy.
We're easy to figure out. You guys don't believe it. You guys think we're complicated, and we're not. Women think men are complicated, and we're not. This causes all kinds of conflicts because you think we're all plotting. No, we're too stupid to do all that. We still got that monkey brain thing going on. Yeah. How to ease it? Just don't be manipulative is my suggestion. You know?
Well, you could start out with some porn.
That, again, back to this. That's actually, for this particular answer, that's a good one to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, well, that was interesting. Hey, maybe we could try that. Good way to...
Or how about, I like that. I would like to do that.
Well,
you could. Will you try with me?
You could.
Yeah.
It could be very blunt. It would, may or may not work. I don't know. It really depends. But the shy boy, socially awkward kid boys, can usually get them to try anything once. they're just so happy to have you talking to them, willing to see them naked, willing to let you see them naked, that they'll, yeah. And we'll do all kinds of dumb things just so we can see you naked. Just saying. There's whole websites devoted to it. OnlyFans. You know? I'm just saying. We're not bright. And we're not bright. But we are out of here tonight. Oh, my God. That went off the rails. So we're out of here. We've got somebody follows us on Saturday nights. Oh God. Good thing they didn't have this jamming with Jake, who's following with us. They're playing country music.
Hello.
A mother and her son play country music following us on Saturday nights. Good thing this one didn't. Isn't their lead-in. Our lead-in stops here with, I think this one is where we'll end up stopping.
Hello.
Anyway. We are out of here tonight. Thank you for watching. You can always send us your questions, comments at love@latenightlove.us. You can find previous shows and the questions we answered tonight at latenightlove.us. And if you caught us on whatever, like, just share, subscribe, do all that fun stuff, or don't. We will love you anyway. For me and Lubby, thank you for joining us tonight. I forget what my closing is. Oh, love everybody and good night.
Good night.
I went like brain dead there for a second. That was weird.